All right, man. Welcome back.
Oh, man. It seems like we were just here. Yeah, I got a new microphone. I feel like an official podcaster now that I have a microphone.
Yeah, your sure microphone. That's what starts happening in the podcast world. You start buying gear and then more gear. And then all of a sudden you got gear stashed under your couch at home. And then you know you're podcasting.
Well, yeah, I'm a rookie in this podcast game. I wouldn't say I was anything more than that.
Yeah, well, like, you know, I'm sure Broderick, whenever he starts listening to these, is going to be like, all right, you guys need to do this, this, and this different than you guys are 8 inches from the mic instead of six. And that 2 inches is a big difference.
Apparently so. I didn't know that rule. So fist next to the mic is what you're supposed to do. But who knows? You know, I bought this mic with my trusty credit card.
Oh, perfect transition into today's topic.
Slippery slope, man. Slippery slope.
I know.
What's your opinion of credit cards, my friend?
Well, I just bought some stuff right as I was sitting here waiting when I sent you the link. And I bought two more things for Halloween because, you know, I love Halloween. I've probably spent like $5,000 on Halloween this year. That might be a little bit of an exaggeration, but it's been a lot. And, you know, Amazon makes it super easy to use that credit card nowadays. Just buy now.
Buy now.
You have to re-put in the number.
You don't even have to think. Don't have to put in your credit card. Comes right to you.
Yeah. And that, right, that's like the beauty and risk when we start talking about things like credit cards or, you know, other payment systems, but credit cards especially, right, being able to buy things on credit, meaning you might not have the money to pay for it right now. And, you know, I got my first credit card. I'll just tell that story. I got it right after college. And I was going to Disney World, one of my other favorite places, as my first, like, grown-up trip where I was going to like go somewhere and pay for it. And the girlfriend that I had at the time and I were going to go to Disney. And so I got the Disney like credit card to get the points that you get. And they had other benefits then, like being at the park with the credit card, et cetera, stuff like that. And, you know, I had never really booked anything like two flights and hotels and all that at one period of time and paid for it, right? Like, it's very expensive. So, you know, I think I got that first credit card and I was probably 22 or 23 at that point. So I think I still needed to show income or show how many assets I had, something along those lines. But it was very minimal at that point. Maybe I didn't because I was post age 21. So they just kind of ran credit and found out that I had basically none. And I got a really bare minimum credit card, right, amount and off to the races. And, you know, I was pretty fearful of that credit card. I hadn't had a lot of credit card conversations. And so, like, I used it for that trip and I basically then kind of like stashed it away. Like, I didn't carry it in my wallet. I actually put it in a drawer, you know, in my apartment at the time. Like, I was like careful about not, like, I didn't want to take it out to a restaurant or a bar and put it down as a tab. Like, that just scared me. So I really did like just stash it away for a long period of time and just didn't really use it much after that.
So you're on the complete opposite spectrum than where I started. I got zero education on what a credit card was. But when I got to the Naval Academy Prep School, I started seeing people with credit cards. They're like, you got to sign up for one of these, man. It's great. They give you a credit limit. And I didn't even know what it was, right? So I left home. I originally got there when I was 17. As soon as I turned 18, man, I was so happy. Signed up for a credit card. I think they gave me like a $500 credit limit. It was whatever it was. It was a lot of money to me, right? And so I started using it. And then,
were you working then too?
Well, yeah, I was getting paid. When you go to Naval Academy Prep School, the Navy pays you, right? And so I was making a couple $1,000 a month, right? Nothing major, but it was for an 18-year-old kid with not many bills. It was a lot, right? But like where I went wrong was no one really explained to me how interest worked, and I was paying the minimum. And so I'm just like, oh, I just pay the minimum.
$20.
Yeah, yeah. I pay my bill off every month, right? And I didn't know the difference. I never looked at my statement. I was always swiping that thing. And then as we went on, the habit got a little worse, right? So I'm playing sports. I don't have a lot of money in college. And I'm still sending money back to my mom. And we used to travel. If you remember back in the day, you would go through the airport or like BWI, and there would be like a Southwest credit card and a United credit card. And there would be like these pretty women like saying, hey, come sign up for our credit card. We can get you approved right away. Right. And so next thing you know, like all of my teammates, most of them came from like good families. So they had like money and stuff like that. And I wanted to keep up with them. And so I was footing the bill with credit cards. Right. So sooner or later, I had like 15 of these things. Right. With like bad, like $200 limit, $500 limit. I think the max I had was $1,000. And it was just absolutely insane. And so I ended up like I screwed up my credit so bad, like so bad. And luckily my prep school coach caught wind of what was going on and made me like get it under control. And then my sponsor mom for the Naval Academy, because when you're there, you get a sponsor family. She made me take all of my credit cards and cut them up. Right. And then that's how I started to get it under control. So when I graduated, I had about $5,000 in credit card debt. So I sold my truck to pay for my credit card debt. And that ended up like getting me along the path of learning how to deal with credit cards. But I didn't grow up afraid of them, right? I just realized like you had to use them responsibly. But the thing is like as you go on, especially if you grow up in a situation like me, like credit cards are vital, right? Like you might not be able to survive without a credit card. I know there are times that like I fell on hard times and I had to live off my credit card, right? And you're robbing Peter to pay Paul, but guess what? You got to eat. You got to eat in that moment. So what I tell people is be responsible with your credit card, but understanding like you, future you is going to have to foot that bill. And as long as you're okay with that, you just got to get through today. But if you're okay with future you footing that bill, then go right ahead with the credit card.
Yeah, well, Since we're kind of old now, one of the things that changed since we went, which is, you had some income. I don't remember if I did or not when I applied for my card. I probably did have during the year. So I guess that's probably what they're looking at. But I think from 18 to 21 now, you got to show income to be able to get a credit card. That changed back in 2009. And then the other lesson I think that we just heard is, look, like when you get started, one credit card is fine. You shouldn't have five different credit cards, right? And there's a reason for that, right? Is you're just expanding out this limit that when one place looked at you, they said, yeah, you really shouldn't have more than that limit right now. And they were probably right. Like that limit's probably the limit you were supposed to have. And if you can't pay that one back each month, you shouldn't have a bunch of other credit cards. So, you know, one card is totally fine. And to your point, like if you fall behind on your payments, cut it up. There's other people. I've never done this one. You know, I told you I didn't take it with me places, so I just couldn't use it. But I know some people freeze them in the ice blocks in their freezer too. I don't know if that messes with the chips anymore. That would be interesting to know, but you know, you could just shred it. You can always ask for a new one. They generally don't charge you for a new card, right? So if you lose one, you call up, they send you a new card. They don't charge you for it. So it's okay to cut it up and dispose of it if you don't want to use it and you're just too tempted by it. I think the challenge today is, you know, now you move them virtually to your wallet and we can't hide them. We can't cut them up. You know, we're talking about physical credit cards and people are like, y'all living in 2000, right? Yeah. You know, it's Apple Card and, you know, it's on my phone and I just tap it and go.
Yeah. I mean,
and, you know, I think
banks love these things for consumers, right? And when you're young and you're one, you have a number of hooks that are automatically going to get into you. You don't have a lot of income to start with. And credit is seen as like an easy button. I'll just swipe this card. There's no like visceral reaction that comes with that initially until you get that bill later. So they've decreased the amount of friction and it's designed to hook you in. It is the easy thing to do. And I used to just cut mine up, right? But like you said, like these days, that doesn't really mean anything because it moves over to your digital wallet. And to be honest, it's easy to get another one. And it's easy to rack up credit card debt if you aren't paying attention. Personally, I take the rule that just have one credit card with a very, very high limit. But if you ever open a credit card, now this was the other thing I did wrong. I had 15 cards, and you know what? When I finally got my act together, you know what I did wrong? I closed all 15.
Yeah.
And it just, and that is so bad, right? For your, because credit history is in your credit, like overall credit limit, that's like 60% of your credit score, which I had zero clue. And so when I graduated the Naval Academy, my credit score was 520. Like, that is atrocious. I think the lowest score you can get is like 450 or something, right? And so it was embarrassing trying to apply for a apartment, and you can't really, you got to pay this giant security deposit. Yeah. And it was just embarrassing, right? Because your credit score is what people judge you off of early on in your financial life.
We'll be right back with the show. But first, I wanted to tell you a bit about our sponsor and the production company behind the FinServe podcast, PodPony. Are you on the lookout for a podcast producer? How about a content boost or even someone to help take your brand to the next level? Well, let's face it, creating content and keeping up with a content schedule just isn't easy. That's where PodPony comes in, your all-in-one content partner for thought leaders and business owners. From media coaching, podcast production, blogs, webinars, newsletters, website support, social media, or any other facet of the content world, they've got you covered. From initial concepts and strategies to production and distribution, the experts at PodPony are with you every step of the way. They'll help you create customized content that turns heads and brings in business. All you have to do is show up and do what you love. They'll handle the rest. So saddle up with PodPony by visiting podpony.com and start your content journey today. Now, back to the show.
Yeah. So I heard a couple different things go into your credit, and you just brought up the length that the credit's been open. So you really don't want to cancel those initial credit cards. Like, you kind of want to keep them throughout your life, even if you're not using them. That actually factors in positively to your credit score. You also mentioned your credit limit, how much credit you have available. And it's kind of like the usage of it, right? Like, how much have you been, you know, how much do you have open? Are you carrying debt? All those things. That's a big factor. And then, you know, the other interesting one is like making payments on time. And so this has actually made life easier to some degree to build up your credit in a very like normal fashion. It does require a little bit of work, though. But places like Experian, which is one of the, you know, credit bureaus that are out there, you can actually go in. I was reading this on somewhere recently. You can go in and kind of link up if your bank account or other things into. So let's say you have a debit account or a credit card, and you can actually link that up to this Experian, and paying things like your monthly Netflix now will actually build up your credit, because it'll actually treat that like a utility or an ongoing bill. And so, you know, so many people have just subscription services. So any of those subscription services now can actually build up your credit, which is, to me, is a really interesting thing, because for some people, you know, they go 10, 15 years without ever building up any credit. They don't take credit card debt. They don't have utilities. They're renting. It's not in their name. And all of a sudden they end up as like 35. They go in for a business loan and they can't get a business loan because they don't have any credit. And so building that up over time, even if it's simple things like getting those linked in, because you don't want to get a credit card yet, or you can't qualify for one because maybe you're 19 and you don't have any income, because, you know, today you need to be age 21 before you can show assets or whatever instead of income. I think you can be an authorized user at age 13 on a parent's card. And so for some people with parents, that might be one solution too. So I've thrown a lot of things out at you, but this is something, right? Educate yourself on. You know, I think both of us said, you know, get a credit card as soon as you can, start building up the credit, build up good usage of it, but don't fall behind in those credit card payments. Understand interest, understand what a minimum payment is like versus actually paying off your monthly balance. Do you want to go into that one a little bit? Like, that difference, because you said like you didn't really get that. You were like, oh man, what do you have to, like, because I look at mine sometimes and, you know, I charge a bunch of business stuff to it, and I'll, you know, it might sound shocked, but like sometimes I'll have $9,000, $10,000,
you know, on there, and it'll be like, your next monthly minimum payment is $50. And I'm always like, man, like, somebody's doing that, right? Somebody's got 10 grand sitting there with 10 grand in the bank, and it's just making that $50 payment.
Hey, man, I've done it. I've absolutely done it. But I've always had a plan on why I did it, right? Because maybe 1 month you're like, man, I know I'm going to have a big expense. I need the cash hanging around for my own like personal like safety and to lower my anxiety. So I want to make sure that cash is there. And I know I'm getting paid a significant amount later. So I'll keep that around. With that being said, paying the minimum payment, what people don't realize is like the interest keeps accumulating daily, and then the interest accumulates interest, right? And so it can be paying the minimum payment. It can take 30 years to pay off a credit card at the right amount if you're all you're doing is paying the minimum payment. And typically the minimum payment's like 2% of what the overall value is what it usually calculates out to. And it's something that you have to take into effect. Now, with that being said, if you can pay the statement balance off every month, that's what you should do. And you should just sort of get in the habit of paying the statement balance off. Now, I personally, because I don't like to carry cash, I put everything on my Amex every month, right? Mm-hmm. I also have a limit that will allow me to do that thing. I can put my whole life on that Amex. But I do that purposely because for me, growing up the way I did and growing up in poverty, I have a lot of anxiety about making sure money is available throughout the month. And because I have that Amex and I shop everywhere where Amex is accepted, it took away my anxiety with a feeling of scarcity. Now, that's not something I recommend for everyone because you have to be responsible with it. You have to know that, hey, I'm only going to use my Amex. I'm not going to use this cash. The cash is used to pay off the Amex every month. But and you can do it with any credit card. I just chose to do it with an Amex, right? As you go forward, like making sure you're not just doing the minimum payment every month. Now, if you have multiple credit cards, you do have to have a plan on how you're going to pay it off. There's different methods. There's the snowball method where basically you just pick one that you're going to attack, right? And you're trying to psychologically continue to motivate yourself. So either you're going to go after the biggest one first, and you're just going to pay that off, and you're going to pay extra, whatever extra you can on that, versus paying the lowest one so you can just get rid of that, psychologically give you a win, and then go on to the next one. But you're paying the minimum payments on everything else. The reality is attacking one and setting a goal and a priority on how you're going to pay off your credit card debt is very, very important. In today's world, we know that more and more people are putting money on credit cards, right? The worst part is the holiday season because you're going to start getting offered store cards, which are the worst thing you can do, right? And I've been there. I'm like, I think the last time I did it, Home Depot was offering like some ridiculous sale. It was some like 20% off or something crazy. And we were buying a new washer and dryer. So I was like, cool, 20% off. We'll do this. Like we have the cash. Let's just do it. I'll happily take a 20% off. But the APR was something like astronomical, like 30% if you didn't pay this thing off, right? Mm-hmm. And so understanding what you're getting yourself into and understanding how the APRs work is very important. And not everybody is meant to have a credit card. I can tell you right now, my brother hated, he was in that situation you're talking about, would not whatsoever get a credit card. I mean, he bought every car that he can get in cash. And then one day he actually needed to get a loan. And guess what? Zero credit history. And he was an adult. And they said, no, you can't have a credit card. So he ended up having to do a cash secured credit card.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's somebody that would have benefited just from linking up all those bill pays over the years to his credit history. Right.
Yeah.
And to your point, look, like, there are times I've done it too. Appliances are probably the one that gets you the most because you go in, right, buying a washer and dryer. I think I got one at Best Buy back in the day when I had to buy a washer and dryer, right? And it's just, you know, 20% off of those is $200, $200, $300 at the spot where you're like, hey, Like that's a big savings. But they're really banking on the fact that you will mess up as a consumer, that you will carry, and I mean mess up, but you will use this as a, you know, carrying of debt mechanism and therefore start paying interest on it. I mean, that's what they're looking for in those situations. Now, again, I say mess up. Sometimes you have to do that. You need a washer and dryer, and you might not have the money coming for 3-4 months. And so you are going to have to carry that debt, and you are going to have to make minimum payments because otherwise you can't wash your clothes, right? Or a refrigerator, right? And you don't have food at home. You can't eat out every meal, right? So there are necessities out there that I put into there. And that's where, you know, credit can be very helpful to get big purchases you otherwise can't cash flow today. And so it does play a role out there for a lot of people. And that's a weird catch 22 for your brother, right? Which is, you know, credit lenders are more likely to lend credit to people who have already shown that they have good credit, right? And so you walk in, you're like, well, then how do I get this? And there are some of those small things, right? So getting that college one, you know, sometimes when you go to a bank, you know, depending on which bank is at your university, because a lot of times that's the one you end up with, but some banks will have checking and savings accounts, and they'll more easily be able to tie your credit card into your overall history than, you know, kind of going out to other places. So that's always something to check too. You know, I would agree. And I'm not an expert on that, but it would seem like a lot of the, what I'll say is vendor credit cards tend not to be the best ones. So you're thinking of retail stores, right? Going more direct to the credit card companies and banks, you're probably going to get better APR and points and other things like that. But those discount deals in the moment, can be really enticing.
Yeah, I mean, it's all within reason, right? And, you know, you brought up a great point earlier, and it's the biggest hack that you can have, right? If you know your parents, take, for instance, my kids, right? If you know your parents have a great credit score and they have longstanding credit cards, ask to be an authorized user on their credit card, right? Because immediately when your name goes on there, you assume their credit history. And so your score just jumps up through the roof because now you've gotten probably a credit history longer than you've been alive at that point, right? And that's something that wasn't afforded to me, but my kids will have that opportunity. Now, the other thing is when you're asking your parents or someone you trust to put you as an authorized user, tell them you won't even use the card. They can even cut it up, right? As long as it's open and they keep it open, you don't have to put any transactions on it because guess what? It's tied to the other person's account. They're going to use it. You can get their credit history. It is the biggest hack that is available, that is legal. And I don't anticipate that little loophole closing at any point in time because there's no incentive to close it. But a lot of people just don't use it.
Yeah, and likely, you know, credit card companies and, you know, if you think about credit bureaus, it's probably supported behavior anyways. I remember being in a really interesting presentation one time, and they were talking about social media and these credit card companies, and that they started this process, like a data analysis of looking at your friends on social media, and basically it became very predictive of your own credit rating too, which was really an interesting thing. I don't think they use it today, but it was like an analytical thing that like looked at your credit rating, David, and then like the 10 people you interact with most on like Twitter, and they could basically predict your own credit score based off of who you interacted with. And so probably in situations like that too, right? Your parents have good credit. You're probably more likely than not to end up in a similar credit score history as them moving forward. It's not totally predictive, right? Like you have people with great credit, then the kids aren't good with it, or you have people whose parents don't have any credit and the kids buck the trend and figure out how to manage their finances and come out of it. But it's probably more abnormal than normal, right? Even to your own situation, right? Like you always talk about it, like not the path you were supposed to be on, right? And you found a different way for it. But for the most part, I think credit companies probably encourage that behavior. So I'd agree with you. I don't think it'll change. Do you want to go into like, why don't you use a debit card today to buy your purchases? Because I'm the same way. I don't use my debit card for anything almost, right? I use credit card to basically, like you do, to put almost every single expense I have in my life goes on my credit. And then I pay 100% of it off. Actually, I'm a little odd. I actually pay it off a couple times a month usually. Like I will go in and check on like the middle of the month and pay it off. And, you know, because it's kind of a little bit of the way I'm managing my own cash flow throughout the month. So, but how about debit cards? What are some of the watch outs there?
Personally, I don't like debit cards. And the reason why I don't like it is the transactions and the, like back in the day when we were learning finance, I remember you open a checking account, you get a checkbook, right? Purpose of the checkbook was that you can write down your transactions mm-hmm. of, hey, this is a check number 713. I write what it was, and then I resolve and can balance my checking, right? And so a debit card initially was a very simplistic way of doing that, but in a sort of digital format, right? So you no longer had to balance a checkbook. You can go online. You can go on your phone, you can check the balance, but we know that transactions lag, right? They may not hit your checking account 72 hours from now or 24 hours. Like there's a time frame on when they lag. And so I always felt like it could be easy to get behind. Like if you have a big shopping day, your balance can be thrown off. So you constantly have to be calculating in your head, well, how much did I spend? And for me, that was a lot of anxiety provoking. The other little aspect is if someone scams your debit card, they get immediate access to your cash, right? If I have a bad transaction or a fraudulent transaction with my Amex, I just call American Express and say, hey, you know, that actually wasn't me. And Amex just reverses it and gives it back to me. That's harder to do with a debit card because the bank is like, well, we took the cash out of your account already. So where's that cash has to come from somewhere. And then I'm not a huge fan of how that works in general. So I rather have very minimal transactions in my actual cash related accounts. And I'm perfectly fine adding that buffer with the credit card because they have better fraud mechanisms.
Even the fraud protection legally is not as strong as with credit cards. And then to your point, like you pointed out, like functionally, it's just a pain. Like if you have $1,000 maybe that's on your credit card and they're working through the fraud part, you don't owe the money yet. But if they took $1,000 out of your cash, it's just gone, right? Like there isn't another part of it. Overdraft fees too is always important, right? Like whereas you run up more than you have saved, which is a lot of the reasons you buy things on credit. But if you do that with your debit card, it's just kind of out. All of a sudden you're getting hit with extra fees and you're not building up your credit score. I mean, that's another big thing with the debit side, right? Is that's not credit. You're not building up your credit score. You're just paying via cash, via a card, and a lot more risk associated with it and not the kind of ancillary benefits of building that credit history over time. So I'm the same way. The only time I use a debit card is basically to pull cash out of the bank. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I don't think of it as like a transactional card anymore. Like I don't use it. Don't think about using it. It doesn't really come into the way I spend my money anymore.
Yeah, it's actually kind of, for me, I feel like I'm actually kind of annoyed when I have to use my debit card, right? Like in this day and age, there makes no sense why I can't use my Amex to pay for something. One of my least favorite places to go is Costco, right? Partially why I don't like going to Costco is guess what's the only card that they won't accept? Amex. Yeah, they don't. So they used to have a deal with Amex. And then Costco basically was printing cash based upon their business model.
Your Amex.
And so they didn't want any credit card processing fees. Visa and MasterCard struck that deal. And Amex said no and played hardball. So Costco said, well, we don't have to accept Amex. We don't need your revenue. And it's always funny to think about it. Like people love going to Costco. And I just don't go out of convenience, right? Because of the fact that I use the same card for all my expenses so that I keep my financial life very simple, right? Like my balance sheet, I know where things are moving every month, right? I have a large Amex bill to pay, and then I pay my other bills as needed, right? as necessary. And Costco, it doesn't fit into my financial life. So I don't use it.
I've never been to a Costco still, so it's not, I'm not missing anything either. So
Sam's Club,
you do you, and that's okay. You know, if your AMX isn't accepted, then you can go take your business other places, David.
That's yeah, this is great. I love it.
Well, hey man, I appreciate you. And thanks for chatting up on credit cards today. This is fun. You know, appreciate it, man. I'll catch up with you soon. And thanks everybody else for listening to this episode of the FinServe podcast.